hello, hello. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine, Marie, and Julie.
Hello, Life with the Girlfriends, Julie, Marie.
It's wonderful out there, isn't it? I mean, there's a lot of crazy stuff going on, a lot of heartache going on, and I'm feeling like not touching it. Like,
yeah, we're not going to touch it
today. That's not what Life with the Girlfriends is about because, you know.
Any other podcast you can get that on.
Yeah. I was listening to this one podcast called Live or Die in L.A.
Oh,
not live or die. I think to die in L.A. Something like that.
To live and die in L.A.?
That's something like that. Yeah. But it's a true crime podcast. Mm-hmm. And they tell you in the beginning, like, hey, we're doing this podcast in real time, bitches. So, like, you know, if we lead you down a path where it looks like this person did it and we end up being wrong, not our bad. We're letting you in. We're pulling back the curtain so you realize that, listen, you know, we get thrown down many rabbit holes when you're trying to solve a crime. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of crazy because...
Are we trying to solve a crime today? What is the crime? Because we found some
I'll tell
rabbits.
The crime is my father is a crime. He committed a crime yesterday. Should I share it with you?
What'd he do?
He was a saboteur. He was a saboteur.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if it's good or bad to say it, but I was like, I had gone to work. I was gone all day. I had a really, really great food day. Like, mm-hmm. Perfect. I felt inspired. We had met. You know, I was just like feeling good.
It was,
you know?
It was one of those high quality days.
I come home after a late night at work, 10
mm-hmm.
o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was ready for bed. I'm not necessarily blaming him per
mm-hmm.
se,
mm-hmm.
but aren't the best... saboteurs know literally the spot to tickle you at,
mm-hmm.
know where to place a knife in your back
mm.
to twist. Don't mm-hmm. they? They're the good ones. They think, you know, it's like...
And they're good-hearted ones.
Right. You know, they quietly direct you to walk on the banana peel, and then they make you believe that, oh, you wanted to go that way, mm-hmm. and by the way, didn't you eat that banana and threw mm-hmm. that peel down there mm-hmm. before you slipped? And you're like, oh, yeah, maybe I did. And so...
But tell me about this.
So I come home late, 10 o'clock, feeling great. You know, I had made my 4 cups of hibiscus tea.
Mm-hmm.
I had, you know, packed my whole day's food. I was eating healthy. Perfect. And I walk in, and I had been sharing this with you. I'm like, hey, guys,
mm-hmm.
you know, Father, you know, Padre Pio, we had channeled him, all this good stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm just feeling great. I walk in, and the first thing I get a whiff of, I'm like, oh, this house smells like pizza. You know, some people, like Sherlock Holmes,
right.
I watch Elementary. Mm-hmm. I love that show on Hulu. He'll walk into a place and he'll sniff and he'll go, yeah, someone had coitus here. You know, I'm like, oh, okay, cool. I walk in and I'm going, someone had pizza.
When I walk in someplace, I go, smells like sweaty tits as well. Wait, sweaty tits and remorse. I almost didn't say it.
Because that's a hard word to say, yeah. Sweaty tits
and remorse. I was
going to
say sweaty balls.
Sweaty balls.
And remorse.
And remorse. Aw, that sometimes happens too. You know, it's really bad when you can smell remorse. It's just like, oh my gosh.
All right, my bedroom smells like regret.
Yeah. And so anyway, I walked in.
I was sleeping.
Yeah.
When you walked in, I was sleeping.
And he had 2 pizzas left on the cutting board,
mm-hmm.
just waiting for me. Everybody mm-hmm. else was sleeping. I'm like, what's this about? So I had to wake him up. And I mm-hmm. said, hey, what's going on with pizza?
Mm-hmm.
He goes, I saved it for you.
Mm-hmm.
I go, you sure you don't want it for tomorrow?
Yeah.
He goes, no, I figured you could have a good food day tomorrow.
Yeah, I said, why don't you just put those in aluminum foil and just tuck them in their fridge and have them for tomorrow.
Yeah.
Don't even tempt Julie.
Yeah, I know.
And I fell asleep. We had turned on Netflix Fatherhood.
Yeah.
The Kevin Hart new movie.
Oh, exactly. I genuinely like Kevin Hart. I genuinely like him.
It was, the man was just walking through the film.
Okay.
Netflix, I'm sorry. I used to love you. And somehow, I don't know what happened to your content, but maybe you just... I don't know. Maybe it's COVID content.
It could be.
I don't know. But
I
literally fell asleep through the movie. I told Norm.
It was a movie.
I turned on my side and I said, I don't really care anymore about this character. I just don't care.
That is the worst thing in the world.
It's the worst thing in the world.
To watch a movie and going, I don't care.
At some point, I no longer care, Kevin Hart, whether you live, die,
yeah.
meet another woman. Raise Doesn't your child. Matter. Don't care.
It's like in Babette's Feast that I saw. For, yeah. You know, uh-huh. I literally cared for Babette uh-huh. and the two sisters.
Yeah.
I cared about them. I wanted to make sure they were okay.
Good for you.
You know, but Kevin Hart, fatherhood.
Nope.
You know, nope. Like he's just phoning in a paycheck.
Oh, yeah. He didn't. I don't even think he phoned it in.
Well, and the weird thing is, it's like, you know, if you look at Netflix today, the number one show on Netflix today is Manifest,
yeah.
which is a series from NBC, you know. Mm-hmm. And so you get to watch it without commercials, but it's a year or two old, yada, mm-hmm. yada, yada. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, okay, I get you. You know, how about just doing that stuff?
Well, there was another movie on, I don't know if it was a movie or a series called 4400. And Dad was reading me the stuff. And he goes, Chris, this is the same thing as Manifest.
100%.
Only
yeah.
these people come back after some place, they got magical powers, and then they haven't aged. Same thing in Manifest. They yeah. come back from a plane ride, and it's yeah. like 10 years later, and they got magical powers, and they haven't aged. I'm like, ooh.
Hey.
How'd that happen?
I'm thinking, here's our next green flag.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
So
go ahead.
Dad caused the. I'm not purposely blaming him, but I'm saying he's a saboteur, and I must guard myself from his craziness.
Yeah, the man that we're going to call him the man whose fly is down continuously.
Yeah. And so we discussed
this. He has a new pair of jeans. Yeah. Actually, they're jean shorts.
Yeah,
and for whatever reason, the fly keeps. The zipper keeps coming undone.
And so we discuss this with him because you said to him, Norm, I see your fly down. He's like, oh, my God. No.
He went, oh, my God. Not again. I'm not going to turn into that guy.
Yeah, I don't want to be that guy who perpetually walks around town with his fly down. Because, it, you know, and then we had sympathy for the guy who perpetually walks around with the fly down.
Yeah.
Because we used to think it was just easy access for a little peep show. Or a little nub.
And also he switched to a skirt.
That's right. He switched to a skirt. Yeah. Not dad.
Not our dad. No.
But the guy around town. Yeah, exactly. And so.
And sandals.
Yeah. And so now we felt compassion because what if it really wasn't about that?
Right.
And then at some point he's like, I'm having a hard time just zipping my pants. I'm keeping them zipping. I'm going all in skirt.
Right.
Just all in.
That way I have to worry about the zipper
part. Don't have to worry about the zipper. And and who is to do? And I think he was just a couple years behind that. Because I think now no one would even question the fact that he was wearing a skirt.
Right. Nobody would.
Now, previously I would have said like, you know, tell me what's going on here.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Well, I mean.
Do you need to go to Goodwill? We can get you a pair of pants.
Oh, right. Because he didn't look like he was.
It was a tartan skirt.
Yeah. He didn't look like he was. Transforming.
Right.
That's not the right word.
No.
He just looked
transitioning.
Like. Transitioning. He looked like he was just like, I soiled my pants. All I could steal was a pair of skirt, you know. And I'm like, dude, I can help you with that. I can't do much.
How come you had to have the story that he soiled himself?
Well, okay, I'll tell you why.
Chosen that day.
In the screenplay writing class that you're taking, one of your assignments is to take a headline, do a headline, and write five possible stories.
Right.
It's to get the juices going. Mm-hmm. So now I'm to the point where everything I say, well, no one knows the truth. The guy sold himself. That's why he's got to wear a skirt. Or another one. I'll throw another one out. Mm-hmm. He has been so close with his mom, and his mom died in that skirt. And to feel close to his mom, he wears a skirt.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Or he's supposed to meet a lover, and he's supposed to be wearing, you know, the color teal. The only teal he could find was a skirt. And he's like, well, damn, I got to wear this skirt now.
Or he's meeting with a lover, and he only has like 5 minutes, so it's got an easy access.
Easy access, quick, boom, boom, boom.
Well, like I had to watch Witness last night, and there's this one line when Kelly McGillis gives Harrison Ford some Amish clothes.
Yeah.
And he has to, and they're all hook and eye. And he says, what do you people, don't you like buttons? What do you got against buttons?
Yeah.
Because, you know, they're all hook and eye. And she goes, buttons are too fancy.
Oh, buttons are too fancy.
Hook and eye is plain. We are plain people.
We are plain people.
He goes, how do you feel about zippers?
No zippers.
Too fancy.
Too fancy. Well, and then a couple of things, like for guys in some sense, but I would think hook and eyes would be hard to, like, get down your trousers quickly.
Yeah.
You know, zipper is good.
Yeah.
Elastic. Do you think elastic is good for, or is that too big?
I don't think they had elastic.
All hook and eyes.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm. I just don't like the name of it, hook and eye. Hook and eye.
Yeah.
It should be like hook and fish. I mean, hook and eyes don't go together.
Sounds sort of like Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah, hook and eye. Exactly. Arr. Well, one of the other things that we, and we can say this in a general sense because you did sign a non-disclosure agreement, but one person that we were watching, you know, had discussed this fact that she's like, I'm just kind of distraught or emotionally upset of how free we talk about anal sex now in pop culture. Mm-hmm. And it just came out of the blue.
Yeah.
Like,
everybody's jaw dropped.
Like, what?
Wait, what did you say?
Now we got to talk about this?
Now I got your attention, people.
Yeah. This is my...
Now all eyes are on me.
Yeah, this wasn't about anal sex as much as it was about...
Me having you look at me.
My opening scene. Did I grab your attention? Yes.
And scene.
Scene. Boom. Next. Exactly. But then I thought to myself, the truth is, I don't know what happened, but anal sex became a very huge part of our culture.
Yeah. You're saying that too?
I'm saying it too. I'm not saying it bad or good. Yeah. Good or bad. You know, I don't have a preference. I mean, I do have a preference.
Sorry.
I have a preference.
I've never heard you say that before.
I don't think I've ever said anal or not anal. I don't have a preference. No, I do. I do have a preference.
And, don't tell us. Let us in the mystery.
Yeah, let's not tell. Yeah. Yes. Let's just, because it, I'll tell you what, if I hadn't been listening to Dan Savage for a couple of years, I wouldn't even be slightly even open to that proposition. Because just like, and I'll tell you the main reason why. Now, I could have a really poor memory about this, but I swear to God, your mother told me when I was a teenager or early 20s that you're supposed to let a guy have anal sex with you when you're on your period. Mm. And I thought, you know what? Thank Grandma for sharing.
Thanks, Nona.
Here is my wisdom that I'm going to.
Thanks, Grandma.
And then I thought to myself, this is just what older people do to fuck with kids, to fuck with young adults. They throw out these crazy ass scenarios that you're like, you know what? Let me figure that one on my own. I'm sure your mother didn't tell you.
My grandma said, I could do this.
My grandma said, I'm on the rag, so my butt's in play. Just to let you know, I'm on the moment.
It's the good old days.
Just like,
because God forbid the guy should wait.
Yeah, wait 4 or 5 days. Yeah. You know.
God forbid.
Well, I mean, what I love about it is that the other orifices weren't in play. You know, it was like, I'm like, oh, all right, thanks, let me know. But so I have always been turned off to anal just because of that conversation.
Just with your grandma. Yeah.
I was like, I can't think of my grandpa. I hope to God I remember this wrong. Like,
I hope you did too.
I hope I remember it. I just like somehow.
Just for my mom's sake.
Yeah. Because I'm sure that you didn't have very many sex talks with your mom. Or maybe you did.
Never.
Except that good girls don't, and you did, then you were a horrible child. You were a horrible teenager.
That was the most of sex talk we had.
Yeah.
But they had, the only things that we had when we were growing up from my parents were horror stories.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they were not like, you know, like Freddy Krueger or anything like that. But they were like, cameras and reporters burst into the hotel room where you're at with, you know, having a little afternoon delight with, I don't know. And then you're captured on film and you're, it's just that kind of horrible thing.
Well, it's interesting because now you bring me to a memory, and I don't mean to have this podcast today be about dirty talk or sex talk.
Good.
But it just happens to run that way because, honestly, I have been this last couple weeks, because building up to the sale and purchasing a FedEx business, my body has been riddled with stress hormones. To the point where I'm literally forgetting nouns.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what that's called.
No, because your brain is just totally immersed in something else.
And I've been praying to God, which, guess what? I can pray to Jesus and still talk about grandma and tell me her sex story.
And still having stress.
And still having stress.
Yeah.
Because I'm giving it to God. I'm putting... he's carrying my yoke, you know, or, mm-hmm. you know, he's carrying, I'm doing it all. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean I don't wake up going, oh my God, in like 5 days, we're going to have employees. Oh my God. And then I heard, I heard on the radio that FedEx stock went down because they're having a hard time having employees. And then you're like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. And at that one moment, I thought, what if all of our employees decide to quit the day we get the, you know, like, what if, what's the, and then you go on, you know what? We would find 4 new ones.
That would be okay.
We'd figure it out. The next day, I'd figure it out. Yeah. And then we'd go, well, that's the worst that could happen. And we survived it.
Yeah.
Like, okay, good.
Yeah.
Good, good, good.
Well, Spencer, our consultant said that on his first day, I think he had like 2 accidents.
Yeah,
he had
2 accidents. Yeah.
He was like, anything that could have happened in the years that he's been doing it has happened to him. He said, can I talk about something real quick?
Please do.
You were talking about my screenwriting class.
Yeah.
I just want to tell everybody, if they can believe this, that I have not said a word in it yet.
You haven't.
I know. And I've just started, now I'm starting to freak out a little bit.
Yeah.
There's probably like 11 or 22 people in the class, yeah. Something like that. And literally from day, the class is 3 or 4 days a week. I don't
yes.
know.
Yes. Can you believe it?
And literally from day one, it's usually the same 7 or 8 people
yeah.
that continue to take hold of the yeah. conversation.
Definitely.
And so now, since I've not been one of those people, I just don't feel the need to come on board in some sense. And today we had my class, and today I said, Julie, if I don't talk today, I'm never going to talk the rest of my class.
Which is funny, because you always tell me, you know, if I say something like that, what you just said, mm-hmm. you're like, oh, well, that's an interesting edict you just made.
Yeah.
You're like, why is that? And I'm like, oh. But then you said today, and I'm like going, you know, I don't feel like pushing her a little bit. I don't feel like stretching her boundaries. I'm like, yeah, I get you, Mom.
Yeah.
It's okay. You know, just keep showing up.
Yeah.
But it was weird. Tell the whole story, because you really wanted, you were prepared.
Yeah.
You got on a half hour early.
Oh, yeah. Well, because I really said, I really felt in my heart, because our classes are Saturday, Monday, and Wednesdays.
Yes.
And on
2 times on Wednesday.
2 times on Wednesdays, yeah. And so I really, this is my third week.
Yeah.
And so I thought, if I hadn't said anything yet, if I don't do it now, I can't break my cherry.
Yeah.
And then so the rest of the 7 weeks, what am I? So I was really prepared. And in this class, our host, our main teacher, he always starts with an opening prayer.
Yes.
And then he asks for, at the end of class, that someone just volunteer and say a prayer, not only for the teacher who taught the class, but for the class.
Yes.
So I go, okay, well, this would be the perfect time for me to. Mm-hmm. So I composed a prayer this morning.
Yeah, you pre-prayed.
And I composed a prayer.
Yes. It was a beautiful prayer, too, by the way.
And then I had you print it out.
One that is very, qualified for a writer's prayer.
Right. And so in it, I thank the teacher and mm-hmm. all that stuff. And 2 hours into this class, mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't know.
You're not feeling it.
I'm not feeling it anymore.
Yeah.
I just wasn't, mm-hmm. you know. And then at the end of the class, she says, any questions? And we're like, I'm like addled.
Yeah.
You know, because she's like, did you read Harrison Ford and Witness? And then in The Fugitive? And then take Star Wars or mm-hmm. All About Schmidt or whatever.
Yeah.
And like, what, you know.
Yeah.
So the teacher goes, can someone raise their hand and pray, say the closing prayer?
Yeah.
And nobody did. And I went,
I guess.
I will do it. And then by the time I got my finger on the thing, somebody else, one of the top 8 had already, her third time, taken over the prayer.
And you were ready.
I was ready.
And you told me, because you know, you're like, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
Yeah. So then, I was like, you know what? I'm just a coward.
You are. Well, no, you know what it is.
I can't. And I told you, I said, I had like a bad dream last night.
Yeah.
It was one of those scary dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And then so I woke up and I just felt cowardly and but also bold at the same time. Like, if I don't talk in this class,
I mean, I'll never... we had your lighting perfected. Yeah. You had your hair done.
Yeah.
You did all the stuff that you want to do to say, hey, like, I'm showing up, guys.
Yeah.
I'm here.
Yeah.
I ain't going nowhere.
And I didn't do it.
No, you didn't do it.
And I didn't do it. I'm gonna... I have a lot of baggage with this class.
I know. And one is that you feel too old.
Old, yeah.
And
everybody is fresh-faced and they have not been their hopes are still high and they haven't been just, you know, beat down, had the beat down.
Yeah, right.
You know, and I can't bear to come on board and like be the cynic, the wise person. I don't have any wisdom for these kids.
You don't need to.
They're just like so fresh faced and wide eyed and bushy tailed, except for a few that are like, lick me, look at me,
which is so cute because that's bugging the shit out of you.
It is bugging.
And I don't know why it is, but you're just like so damn tired of these people.
Well, you know,
you don't want to be seen.
Well,
and I understand.
Because I'm like, oh my god,
yeah,
you know, I'm here too.
Would you have liked to have the your leader call on you?
I wouldn't have minded.
Yeah.
But I you know, here's me. I'm a behavioral scientist, right? Mm-hmm. I'm a psychotherapist. Everybody else has like been in plays and they're all in the arts, really. Yes. But I'm a study of human nature.
Right. I think that's 1,000 hours of podcasting.
Yeah.
1,000. And,
but also I've written some screenplays.
Yeah.
I've studied how to do screenplays.
Yeah.
None of the stuff is new to me.
No.
You know?
Well,
so, but I thought it would be, you know.
First off,
you're asking me though, why does it bug me that it's all, you know, about looking at it? Because.
And why are you afraid to say something?
Okay, but here's why I was good. Okay, because the first few weeks I wanted, as like I said, I wanted to get the lay of the land.
Right.
That's me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I don't want to, okay. A lot of times, like in Formula One racing, the car that starts right out at the gate and is in first place. Same thing with the Kentucky Derby. Sometimes the horse that's really, really fast right out the gate is not the horse that finishes.
Right.
Or the car that finishes.
Right.
Okay. I'm aware of that. So I don't want to be that person. Mm-hmm. But there are a lot of people that do.
Right.
They went in like right out the gate. Look at me. Look how smart I am.
Right.
Look what I know.
Mm-hmm.
Look at what I've been in. Look at me. And so I guess maybe it's not that I hate it.
No.
I just like, dang, you should have stayed back. If you're a Formula One racing car.
Right.
You should have stayed back. You should have watched.
Now you're a Formula One racing car.
Yeah. You should have watched what the other people were doing.
Now you have.
And now I have, and now it's time for me to make a move around the inside track.
Right, and today you had a chance to pass.
And I didn't.
You didn't take the turn.
No.
There was an opening, and you didn't take the opening.
But I'm still in the race.
You're still in the race.
Yeah.
The race is long. It's 10 weeks long.
It's a long race.
Beginning of the third week. This is beginning of the third week.
Yeah.
Are you going to take the next turn? Are you going to take over a driver? What are you going to do? First off, that prayer you have, that you made.
Yeah.
You could cross out that woman's name and put in a different guy's name.
I'm gonna use my prayer at some point.
Use your prayer.
Right.
Yeah. What kind of bet? Okay.
Okay.
I will shake on it.
Yeah,
the next class you have.
And also, too,
yes,
the other kids that have questions. I don't have a question. If I had a real question.
Right.
I think I'd try and ask it.
Right.
But.
Well, I understand that because the questions just seem silly.
Thank you.
Normano came in holding, what we're going to have for dinner.
Moldy bread.
Yeah, toss it, baby.
Throw it out.
No, I don't know what to replace it with.
Look at
nothing. We'll be fine. Seriously.
Oh, no.
That might be it.
That might work.
Or the potatoes, too. Yeah. This is a little starchy. yeah. So
Normano just came in holding up two loaves of moldy bread.
Yes. We didn't. Well, I had to mention because we're going to have dinner tonight. And I mentioned, hey, why don't you slice that bread up, put some, you know, spoon some stuff on it, some spaghetti sauce and some cheese and, you know, get rid of that bread.
Yeah, you got that.
And then you guys like, that sounds delicious.
Yeah.
That sounds kind of yum yum.
Jill, I want, you know what, if you're, I don't know what you have planned for tonight.
Okay.
But if you're up for doing therapy on me, I'm open for it because I am. It is kind of a conundrum for me.
Yeah, I'm
because like I said, I woke up having had. I told you my dream.
Yes,
and it for whatever reason.
You didn't tell everybody on the show though your dream.
No, I'm not going to. Oh, okay. But it was scary for me.
Mm-hmm.
That dream was scary.
Okay, you had a scary dream.
Yeah,
and you relate it to the feelings you have towards this screenplay class, which couldn't be the worst timing in the world, but also the best timing for this class.
Right, yeah.
It's a distraction.
It's a huge distraction.
From the fact of what we're doing and this, trying to do something different.
100%.
So,
And I thank you, Julie, and thank God for that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. You know.
But okay, you know, here's the thing.
Tell me.
The teacher today totally talked to us about the acts. How to write the screenplay.
Yes.
She used Witness, the movie Witness, mm-hmm. as like the thing. And I just realized that, you know, and she talks about, you know, the first act, the hero's journey.
Yes.
The protagonist and the arch villain. And I realized when I got out of class that I'm in a way I'm writing my own screenplay,
right?
Of my
yes,
of and me in this,
yes,
and at the time, you know, so we're, you know, you guys are transitioning out of trucking, but we're going into this big business,
right?
Which allows us more time, mm-hmm. ultimately,
maybe
not for the first month or two or three,
right.
But ultimately will. And I'm looking for some more a creative outlet,
yes.
Which I need,
right?
You know. But I'm also scared.
Mm-hmm. No.
I'm also scared because I am the oldest in my class, probably.
There might be one that's close.
There may be, one or two that's close. Yeah. And they're scary.
Now, see, that's what you said. I said, so-and-so looks like could be your age.
Yeah.
And I go, I know, I'm afraid of her. Like, what?
I am.
And so as we're peeling back the London, the onion layers.
Yes.
I think you have a fear of possibly getting older.
Yeah.
And not being able to attain your dreams in the way you'd want them to be attained.
Right. And I think that's true.
Yeah.
So I've just got to, you know, I mean, so the course is called Writing for Hollywood.
Right.
Christian Act One, Writing for Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And probably 90% of the people in my course either plan on moving to Hollywood or are already there.
Right.
Because it's how to make it in that industry.
Right.
And like I've been wanting to set an appointment, you know, because it's, you know, our big teacher, he always says, here's my schedule.
Right.
Talk to me. And, you know, and I want to say, hey, I'm here in the Midwest. I ain't going nowhere.
Right.
I mean,
I'm not uprooting my family so that
Hollywood.
You know, Norm and Julie can work in, you know,
yeah,
you know, as waiter and waitress,
right.
To bring in the money to take care of us living
but
in
I'm
a trailer.
Not, but I'm not against hearing what he might say about the Midwest,
right?
You know,
or
about,
exactly.
Hey, there's things you can do because I know like Chicago has like a great, you know, but also too I know that. With all these streaming services and everything, there's a lot of content being needed.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know that.
Well, it's interesting because I mean, I know.
I don't know why. I just can't.
Can you?
Like I asked you to be my writing partner.
Yes.
Because I need your youth.
Thanks. I love it that you call me youthful.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I need
mostly you need my typing skills. And the fact that I can work, you know, the software that does.
That's not true, though.
No, we work well together.
Yeah.
We work well together.
Yeah.
We have great ideas together.
Yeah.
So I enjoy that process with you.
Yeah.
And I think here's, if I was going to be an observer, because I'm not a psychotherapist, but more, so I'm more of a coach, which means I like to talk and, and less listen.
Yes, exactly.
I always say, you're just not a listener, Julie.
Julie, you're I say, you're a coach. You're not a therapist.
I'm like, that's
because
right.
Because you like to...
I can move on. Yeah. Like, let's just, I don't want to, I don't need to like, okay.
Well, also you don't like awkward pauses.
I don't, I get, I start to get stressed out when there's too many awkward pauses.
Yeah. And see, I'm really content to be in that space.
In that silence.
Yeah.
You're like pink.
That's why I haven't talked for 3 weeks in the class.
Yeah, I'm okay with not speaking.
I'm getting the lay of the land.
Yeah. So I would... Like, if I was your coach, I would say, what kind of reinforcement would you need? Like, promise me you're going to make an appointment to speak with the lead teacher. Mm-hmm. And promise me you're going to do the prayer, or at least have your hand up first.
Yeah, I can promise you the prayer. I can also, I mean, I would love to, you know, just schedule my time with him.
Yeah.
And he'd like go, well, what are you wanting from me?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I just want to say hi.
Yeah.
Just dropping by to say hi.
Yes. Connect.
Connect with you.
Yeah.
Look at me.
It's not about networking.
Yeah. And you know what? He appreciates those people that do.
He does.
And he doesn't appreciate me. Now I don't like him anymore.
That's the problem. You don't like it when people don't appreciate you.
Right.
And your light. First off, you think, what a moron if he can't see how great I am without me being great. Can you not see my aura? Can you not see the light that shines brightly inside me? Bitches, I'm amazing. If you can't see that now, it's your fault.
I'm not. But also, I don't really think that way, though.
No, you,
my
I think
bitches,
it's,
I'm amazing. I don't feel that way.
No.
Yeah.
I know. No, this has been a humbling experience for you.
Yeah, it's humbling.
Because.
But wait till they see my screenplay.
Though. Right. Because you thought it would be a little bit easier. They're really pushing you.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful. I mean, it was not.
I mean, it's a real, real, real class.
It's a real, real class. Yeah. One thing I thought was interesting. Oh, while you were talking, I got a hit and I can't remember what it was.
Oh, shoot.
That's not good. That's not good. I think, it is pushing your boundaries. It's pushing you. You should accept it and say, what can I do to grow in this? Mm-hmm. But what I want to say is that I was listening to Adam Carolla. I can't remember who he was interviewing, but he was a director, producer. I don't think an actor. But Adam knew him. He's done documentaries. Mm-hmm. And this was on The Best Of. And they were talking. And I can't remember his name. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Kind of like a name I wouldn't have. They mentioned it. I didn't know who he was. Mm-hmm. But they were friendly. They liked each other. And Adam said, yeah. He goes, I remember the first time you wanted to go on Loveline with me and Drew. And my production team wouldn't let you come on. He goes, no. And he goes, they said, oh, you know, you're not the right person for this and so forth. He goes, I was new, but I was just trying to get out in the world, showing people what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And he goes, but you kept trying. He goes, and finally you met me somewhere. I was at a bar and you saw me and you said, hey, so-and-so, I was doing this and I like to be in your show or something.
Yeah.
You know, and he goes, yeah, of course, come on. You know, no big deal. And I set you up right then and there. But what you realize they were talking – this guy here, I'm going to call him Jimmy. I don't know who his name is. But he has actually done stuff. And still, he was turned away from being on Loveline, which I liked. But, you know, it's not like he was, you know.
I get what you're saying. All about networking.
It's about networking.
Yeah. And I'm not doing that.
Right. He also, and I was listening to Joe Rogan interview this one professor, neurosurgeon, Canadian. And he's got a girlfriend, excuse me, he called her his partner, is in Boston because they both have kids. They're both 50. Mm. And he's like, oh, Joe Rogan's like partner. That just sounds so formal. He goes, I can't call her my girlfriend. We're both 50. I mean, what am I going to do? We're both, you know, middle aged. He goes, what about lover? And he's like, oh, that just sounds gross. This is my lover, you know. And what he said was, He goes, a lot of companies now frown on drinking outside of the office, you know, like meeting at bars with, and then he goes, the reason why is that, he goes, I understand it. Why? It's because a lot of networking goes on there. And what happens is if you don't feel comfortable being around a lot of drunk mm-hmm. men, mm-hmm. you go home early. Mm-hmm. And he goes, so it ends up not being fair to the sober people.
Wow.
Or to women. Because right. women right. don't naturally feel comfortable
right.
being around men who are on the tipsy side.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, no shit.
And they're doing deals.
Yeah. Or they're like, they're brainstorming projects together.
Yeah.
Because and he goes, there's a lot of benefit to being a little tipsy when mm-hmm. you're in that creative form. Because it shuts down your frontal lobe. And that makes you more kid-like. Your creativity mm-hmm. expands.
I just need to have a little alcohol.
You need a little alcohol.
Before my class.
They call it courage juice,
don't
they?
Is that what you're trying to say to me? After all of this?
All of this. You need a little courage juice. I'm going to get you loaded.
I need a little wine in my 7-Up.
You need a little wine. Then you'll be ready to do it. You'll be like, wow, that woman, she's just got it.
Yeah.
But I was also saying, though, is Jordan Peterson this week talked about, it's amazing what you hear. Like, if I wasn't in this screenplay, I'm sure the things I heard this week would not affect me in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just belched a little bit. Sorry, people. I picked up stuff that was pertaining to our life.
Mm-hmm.
And Jordan Peterson was talking about how if you're a creator, like only the top 5 or 10% mm-hmm. make all the money as all the other creators down below.
I believe that.
He goes, the only way to break the odds in your favor mm-hmm. is to overcreate. Overcreate. Mm-hmm. He goes, I had 50 different articles out in the web that mm-hmm. got zero traction on this one Reddit-like website. Mm-hmm. I think it was called it Quora.
Mm-hmm.
My article 51 just took off, like it was like 50 rules for life,
mm-hmm.
something like that.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, it just took off. And it was no better than the other ones I had written,
mm-hmm.
but for whatever reason, it just took off.
Mm-hmm.
And I took from that article and did mm-hmm. other stuff with it.
Yeah.
And so forth.
Repurposed it.
Yeah. He goes, and expanded on it.
Uh-huh.
But he goes, if I hadn't done the 50 things before that,
right.
I would never have gotten to this one.
Yeah.
He says, if I can tell anybody to do anything, it's just to overcreate. And on the other hand, you look at people's Instagram pages, you're like going, who are quote unquote content creators. And you're just like, dude, this is 20 minutes of my life and you could have told me in 30 seconds.
Well, that's the thing too. Today was it this morning? We were looking up how to have proper lighting on Zoom. And there was this girl, and she was cute.
Adorable.
And she goes, I know how to have the proper lighting. Here's my YouTube video.
Yeah.
And she talked, and she talked, and it was about me being so charming, and I'm still talking, and I'm
quick
still,
edits.
I'm not going to tell you just yet, because look at me.
Yeah.
Look at me.
Yeah.
Look at me. And I went, Julie, I can't wait for this.
I said that, too. I'm like, you're right. I can't wait. There was one that was...
I don't understand why people are doing this.
I mean, like...
It's like, look at me.
I have a long... I can listen to 3-hour podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot... Right. If I have an answer, a question,
mm-hmm.
and you say you have my answer, and the answer should be literally a sentence or less, I just want the answer.
Right.
And I'll watch your 10-second ad to get my 15-second answer.
Right.
But I'm not going to watch 19 minutes of you telling me other things. I'm like, I don't want that. I just want the answer.
Right.
I want the answer. Just tell me the answer, please.
That's kind of how I feel about the Motley Fools.
Yes, I understand.
This is just a website that we, years ago. And we bought them for a certain reason. But now they say, here, join us for this hour thing.
Yeah.
And at the end of the hour, they get us all worked up for some great tip, stock tip. And then it's $1,900.
Yes. And you're like,
to get
what?
This. I'm like, what are you doing?
And you're like, how much do I have to invest?
What kind of marketing
to get,
scam
to,
is
to
that?
Hear that, to make it worth my while?
Yeah. No, nobody needs that.
No.
Nobody needs
your
shit.
You know, maybe in 10 years that product will be, you know, mm-hmm. we'll have made 1900 plus another, you know, whatever.
Yeah. See, that's why I don't want to talk, because I don't want to, all these bright-eyed and bushy-tailed kids that are just, I don't want to bring them down.
No. Well, what should bring you down is this. I sometimes, you know, we had been looking at Mercedes Sprinter vans because you were like, I want to do my van life now. meaning mm-hmm. I want to travel with a bed in the back. Mm-hmm. You know, I want a van that can put, like, have an awning and go out.
Van life.
Yeah. You know, and I've been seeing a lot more of these. They're like Dodges now where mm-hmm. they have, you can see them going on the road. They've got bikes in the front. I mean, they look like they're on safari. Mm-hmm. And they got, you know, the awning that comes out and expands so you have another room. Mm-hmm. And you're like, and they're $100,000. And you're like, well, okay. And then you're like, that's the way I want to do van life, right? And then today at Walmart, I saw, I don't know who, but he was living in his van. Mm-hmm. He was doing van life his way. Mm-hmm. In about a 30-year-old conversion van, mm-hmm. which, to be honest with you, they haven't changed. The conversion vans of a little right. bit. A little it more rusty.
It was a little rough.
More, a little, you know. Yeah. But, you know, he is definitely
he had
living the life.
Foil in the windows.
He was covering, he was, you know.
Living out of his van.
Mm-hmm. And you're like, well, that's the other way of doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you're going, well, I don't know if I want that way.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if, you know.
I don't want that way.
No.
No.
I don't.
I did that way before.
Yeah.
We've had that way.
We've had our conversion vans.
Yeah.
And I mean,
I did that. I did that way for many decades.
Yeah. And you one time took your, in the country where we live, is not bad to have a conversion van.
Right.
It's kind of fun to travel in it. Yeah. We had dogs. Enough space, yeah, right?
Right.
Then you went into the suburbs one time, a ritzy suburb.
We went into the ritzy suburbs, like St. Charles
Geneva,
or something.
St. Charles, yeah.
Yeah. In our van.
We went
into this huge, I guess, mall type thing.
Yeah.
And it was a sea of cars.
Right.
And I went, Jill, we're the only van in this whole sea of cars.
Only conversion van, yeah.
Conversion van.
Yeah.
And I went, we gotta get out of this.
I guess I've grown out of this 15-year conversion van.
Yeah, it's time.
Yeah, it's time. Yeah, and it was time. It was time.
It was time.
Well, and now you're missing it. You know,
now I'm missing my van life.
You're missing your van life.
Yeah,
and you've got to find the.
I'm just
the
a van gypsy life at heart, though.
Yeah, you've got to find the van life that you're in alignment with.
Right.
Because on the other hand, you've been looking at campers, going, we could get a camper and rent it out.
Yeah.
Which would be lovely.
Yeah.
You know? So in this week where I've, you know, been stressed to the max.
Yeah, you have.
And then also nice diversion with the thing.
Yes.
I watch my Elementary in the morning as Big Sky is also on Hulu. And I watch that early in the morning. Big mm-hmm. Sky, not a bad TV show. I can recommend it on Hulu. Mm-hmm. It was on ABC, and it's about a truck driver who's also not a serial rapist or a serial killer, but he's a serial trafficker. Like, he finds women who are on the fringe, people won't miss them, grabs them, and then ships them to Canada, where there's a huge market for these women.
Wow.
I don't know. I didn't know that.
The Canadian trafficking.
Yes, exactly.
Wow.
Exactly.
Just like we call our bathtub the Canadian closet.
Yes.
Because all Canadians have their bathtubs just full.
And then,
what was the other one? There's
only in House Hunters International when you go and you see them.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, we're not saying all Canadians do that. But we feel like they have very few closets in Canada.
Right.
And hence the bathroom, bathtub. But, and so is ours. So we're proud of it. You're a Canadian art, aren't you?
Not really, Julie.
I know. So I can recommend that.
Yeah, okay, Big Sky.
But during that time, and I hope Dad doesn't mind me saying this, there's a commercial that's on it for Jarvasis. It's a prescription drug. And I think it's for
Jardiance,
something that like one that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's for type 2 diabetics or something, mm-hmm. or, you know, people who have higher A1Cs, you know, and so forth. Mm-hmm. And if I'm not mistaken, I think Dad's doctor wanted to put him on that. I'm not sure.
Right.
Now, previously, I see this commercial and it goes over I don't even connect with it, you know. But the last couple times I've seen it, they've mentioned, I read the small print,
mm-hmm.
and it said the perineum
gets infected
is between your anus and your genitals.
Right.
And I'm like, well, why are they telling me that my perineum is between my anus and my genitals? What's going on there? And then I listened more intently the next time I saw that commercial. And it said that it could be, you could possibly get a very, very serious infection
between in your
perineum.
Perineum, yeah.
Between, which are otherwise known as?
Taint.
Because it
taint this and taint that.
Yes. Now, the perineum. But can I now? So here's the headline.
That's why Dad ain't going to take it.
Yes. Here's the headline.
Nobody's touching his perineum. Yeah. Okay. What's the headline?
Headline. New type two diabetic drug does harm to perineum. Mm-hmm. Something like that. That's the headline. Mm-hmm. And you're like, wow. Now, what's the story behind that? Mm. Now, here's my story behind it. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine like getting paid like $500, $600? You go into and you're like, hey, you go into the doctor's office and you're like, you're a drug tester. And they're like, okay, you're going to check, you're going to get shot up with this new drug and you're going to be, you know, test to see if there's any side effects. Mm-hmm. You're like, no problem. How much are we going to pay me? $500 or $600. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, well, I'll take the 600 then. If it's an option, $500 or $600. And they say, well, it's 600 if you end up having a side effect, you know. And I'm like, oh, okay. And like, well, it's a really bad side effect. I go, we'll pay you more and we'll solve it for you. Mm-hmm. You know, we're in it for the long haul. Mm-hmm. And so I'm excited because I'm like, I'm helping the world too. I'm making a little money, helping the world. It's like in some ways, the people who, you know, were the guinea pigs for the vaccines. You know, they're heroes in my book, you know, and I would like to be a hero for people who could use this pill. Mm-hmm. But they don't tell you, they don't want to taint, wink, wink, taint. They don't want to taint the pool. They don't want to make it, you know, they don't want to give you a bias. Mm-hmm. So not even to give you a heads up what might be a side effect. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you take it. And then you're like, okay, nothing. And then, you know, week two comes and maybe you take it again. And you're like, and then all of a sudden you get an itch. Get an itch in like the place you're going, oh, that's a weird place
I've
to
never
get an
had
itch.
An itch there before.
Because it ain't this and it ain't that. Why would I get, to me, it's more like just a staging area. It's of little importance. I mean, really, it's of little importance to me. Mm-hmm. I never contemplate that area.
It's like a bridge.
It's a bridge.
It's a bridge to whatever side you want to go on.
It's also
one side's
a dam.
Iowa, one side's Illinois.
Exactly right. It's also a dam because I remember, which I always knew this, but I didn't know it. I didn't hear it said too well until the nanny said it. Mm-hmm. Not Fran Drescher, but the nanny. You know, like the little English lady that will, you know, keep your people in check.
Right.
And you never wipe back to front.
Oh no,
you wipe front to back because of bacteria.
That's
right. So I always felt the perineum was like the dam, kind of keep those back bacteria from the front.
Yes, I like that.
Yeah. So, but I not in a million years would I would think that this drug, out of all the side effects, so you know, you get an itch. Don't think anything about week three. You're still taking your meds. Mm-hmm. They go, hey, any side effects yet? And I'm thinking to myself, would I tell them?
Yeah.
Because I don't know if I would tell them.
Right. Because you're like, I'm not sure this could be a possible side effect.
I guess it seems really weird that this would be a side effect.
Yeah. And like, then double vision is a side effect.
Yeah. And then at week four, you're like, I got to tell you something. I'm like, what? Goes, I think my perineum's on fire. They're like, okay, that makes sense. It makes sense.
Here's your $600. Go to that group over there.
And your antibiotic. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. We don't know why. For whatever reason, a small portion of the group, they get their perineum on fire. Mm-hmm. We don't know why. Mm-hmm. You know, it could happen. Mm-hmm. And so that I get my extra $100, but how long would it take you before you that is lacking courage right now to speak in your acting class that you paid good money for?
Yeah.
They're paying you.
Yeah.
To be the tester of this life-saving drug.
They're expecting my truth.
Yeah. Exactly.
And I would not give it to them because I'd be too embarrassed to say, my taint's on fire.
That's right. Because I'm not even sure. I'm not even, I have to go. And now I know what perineum is. I've heard that word before. I've said that word before.
You didn't initially.
No, I didn't. And actually before.
You said perineum.
I did.
Like when you went micronesia.
Yeah,
you went, right. Mama, I never heard of micronesia before. I went, micronesia?
You're like,
okay.
Yeah,
that hurt.
That hurt. That a stinger. I go, I am so stressed out right now. I feel I've lost IQ points. My brain is just not, it's just holding on.
Yeah, it's just holding on because you've stretched it so far.
Yeah, exactly.
The plasticity ain't so plastic anymore.
Oh, I know, it's getting there. It's just it's growing.
I know.
It's in the third trimester.
No, I know it is.
It'll birth a brand new brain where it can easily pull out words like perineum and micronesia. Yeah. Exactly. It'll pull out those great words and so forth. So I want to just say right now to the heroes that tested that product.
Yeah.
I applaud you.
Yes.
I salute you.
We salute them.
The $600 wasn't enough. I hope you got a little more.
Yeah.
I hope that they had enough drugs to correct it.
Yeah.
And to the doctors that weren't afraid to ask, hey, how's your taint?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But anyway, I did have to, before we got started the show, because I couldn't pull that word perineum out of my brain at the moment.
Yeah.
And I wanted to discuss that with you because I think it's interesting.
That Jesus couldn't pull it out.
No, I thought it was interesting that was a side effect.
Oh.
I just thought that was a hysterical side effect. Not to laugh at other people, but literally, let's just face it, no good deed goes unpunished.
Right. I like the idea that it's just a bridge.
It's just a bridge.
The perineum. I get the damn part, I think.
But you like the bridge better.
I like the bridge because I like to see it going between two states.
I agree.
And you're like, well, which state do you want to be in? Well, you know, listen, we live in Illinois. That's obviously the butthole.
Okay. Obviously.
And going across to Wisconsin, that's obviously the junk.
Yeah.
It's got to be the nuts and bolts of things.
When I Googled that phrase today, I said, what is a technical term? I go, technical term for taint. And they gave it to me.
Oh.
And they said, taint is literally a lewd word.
Yeah.
And it's not, doctors don't usually like that word.
Yeah, well, I guess.
And perineum is good for both male and female. I'm like, okay, yeah, good. Okay. I would assume that.
Yeah.
You know. But that's the way they worded it was like, well, what else is there?
Yeah.
It's good for males and females.
Yeah.
And, you know.
You know, I wonder if something, people don't normally see their taints either. Not normally.
I have never seen my taint.
Yeah.
It would require a mirror.
Yeah.
And at some point.
You know.
I don't really want to see my taint, to be honest with you. I think it would just be
What was that one class we were invited to? The Jonia.
Wherever her name was during the transition, because
I better not say that.
Yeah, yeah. No, her name was.
It was, but they called it the Joni class or something.
Oh, I see.
No,
but anyway, it was. I know that one of the processes was to stand on top of a mirror to get a good look at everything.
Yes,
and love it and appreciate it for what it is.
Yes,
I'm like, I don't
to see your universe.
Yeah,
aww. The YOU.
Yeah, I like that.
You and your universe.
Yeah, that's so sweet.
Instead of taint, that's much better.
Yeah, and I'm just like, you know, I think I would be judging it harshly.
Yeah,
and
we're kind of judgy today.
Well, and we judge ourselves harshly.
Yeah, I judge myself.
And I just think that it doesn't need to be judged at all.
Yeah.
We just
need a cocktail.
Yes, exactly.
You know what cocktails look good to me on the commercials?
Mm-mm.
Is the anything that the Bailey cream.
Oh, yeah, that's a very interesting cocktail look.
It just looks thick. So good.
It's like they almost put it with ice cream, right?
Yeah, it looks like ice cream
it's
with a little
Bailey's cream
chocolate.
And ice and like something red in there and something chocolatey. And you're like going, oh, that don't look too bad.
And then they put, instead of like olives on toothpicks, they put milk duds. On toothpicks.
Oh, they do?
I think so.
I didn't see
that. Going across the glass.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I would do that Rolo. Before class. Oh, yeah.
Rolo would be kind of fun.
See, now I'm thinking if I have that, I might be able to talk in next lesson, people. Next week, if I will tell you if I've talked in class, and you're like, Chris, we don't care.
We don't care. Well,
try and make us care.
Yeah.
I'll try.
They want to support you, Christine.
Yeah.
And, you know, I before we take out, though, I wanted to say this. You know, Comedy Central has their little insignia, C, and then a C wrapped around it, you know. And because it's Pride Month, it's a rainbow. And then they added the color brown and black on top of the rainbow.
Oh.
Yeah, and I get it. It's kind of cool. And to say, hey, we're for everybody, right?
Is that what that means?
I think it's what, like, anybody who's oppressed, we're for.
Got it.
But the older I get, the more I think, truly, that they should put, like wrinkles on that. Because, you know, yeah. When you realize, I had listened
a
to...
A lot of people are oppressed.
Well, I listened to this one.
I shouldn't say that.
I don't know. No, I mean, like, Dan Savage had this woman call up, and she was saying how her son said to her, you know, you need to just stop talking right now. You're just a boomer. And you're not really worth talking to.
Whoa.
And I'm like, okay, if I said that to my mom's like, you're not worth talking to. Leave until you come back, and you would have shamed me.
Whoa.
Until I got a little respectful.
Yeah.
You know, and so forth.
Whoa.
And so I sometimes think that there is a population, because you guys, the boomers, consider themselves very cool. You guys came from the 60s, hippie, you're a free love.
Mm-hmm.
You really put the taint in the ain't.
Put the boom and boomer.
You did. You put the boom and boomer.
Yeah.
You know, you put the free love. You put it all in. And how does it feel now to be basically...
Disdained.
And to be considered the least woke people of all.
Yeah.
How does that feel?
Yeah. It feels sad, Julie.
It feels sad.
That's why it makes me feel unconfident about talking in class amidst all those young people.
Yeah, because you just don't want to feel, you want to feel like you're valued.
Yeah.
And you have much to give, my mom, my love and my mom.
Oh, thank
you,
sweetie.
You have much to give.
Thank you, Angel.
And I'll tell you something that's good news right now.
I could use it.
How's your taint feel?
I didn't feel like nothing.
A win! How was the show, girlfriend?
Couldn't end on that, Julie.
I have nothing else to end on. I'm like I said, my brain's about to just.
You asked me how my taint's doing,
and it's doing
and
good.
And then the show was great.
The show was great. It was great.
Okay. It was great. It was great.